Throughout history, warnings that the end is nigh have come and gone without so much as a speck of ash. These cyclical predictions are often supported by the writings of one of the Western world's favorite prophets, Nostradamus. He was big in the Cold War age and was thought to have foreseen the atomic bomb and the death of the Kennedys. His enigmatic four-line poems were quoted after 9/11 and before Y2K, and lately in conjunction with the end of the Mayan calendar. So how did a 16th century astrologer and poet come to represent the face of the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Here to tell us is Stéphane Grasson. He's an associate professor of French studies at New York University and author of Nostradamus, How an Obscure Renaissance Astrologer Became the Modern Prophet of Doom. Stéphane, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about this man whose likeness has so often been on the cover of the tabloids. Who was Nostradamus?
Right, so today we know very little about Nostradamus. We have this image of this kind of a crazed sorcerer. But actually, he lived in France in the 16th century. He was very much a man of his times. He was a humanist. He was born in a small town in southern France, kind of a middle-class family. He studied medicine, spoke eight languages. He practiced medicine for 20, 30 years. Then he settled down. He settled in a town called the Salon de Provence. He married. He had six children. He had to feed these kids. And he started writing horoscopes. Doctors at the time, you know, would not only practice medical arts, but also look at the stars. And so he started selling these horoscopes. He got a reputation for that. People all over Europe, in Italy, in Germany, in France, started visiting him to get these horoscopes. And then in the 1550s, he was himself nearing 50, he started publishing almanacs, these kind of flimsy, cheap, affordable publications about the moon and the feasts to come and the year to come, kind of information about how to live your life. And he became famous for that, for writing the almanacs. More people in the Renaissance knew him for his almanacs than for anything else. And finally, in 1555, he published his book, The Prophecies.
These prophecies, they're written in four-line verse. I'm guessing that a lot of our listeners have heard of Nostradamus, but maybe never even heard what the prediction sounded like. Could you read a quatrain or two, maybe something pointed to as prophetic?
Sure. The book, The Prophecies, contains 942 of these quatrains, as you said, these four-line poems. And so they're organized in a series of 100. 100 quatrains make what he called a century. So I'll read you a couple of those. Here's one about the Fire of London that people thought was about the Fire of London in 1666. No blood of the just shall be spilled in London. 6 times 23 consumed by lightning. The ancient dame shall fall from high station. Many of the same sect shall lose their lives. And so the quatrain, has no date. There are only 8 dates in the entire book of the prophecies. It captures the enigmatic, the cryptic style of Nostradamus, the references to many cities, and like London, but there are all kinds of cities and places he refers to. So a lot of place names that people could latch on to. But also a text that is inviting, that kind of drew people in. People are trying to figure out what was it about, mm-hmm. what could it mean. And so people did so in 1666 and many other years as well.
Did 6 times 23 people die in the Fire of London?
Fewer people died, but people actually linked that to the year 1666.
I see. You propose that his publishers played a pretty heavy hand in building up his mystique and his popularity. How did they do that?
Well, first of all, he himself was not only an astrologer and a man who consulted the stars, but also he understood the power of print. The 16th century was a great time in the diffusion of print, and he understood it. He understood the new technology, and so most years he would travel to Lyon, which was today's not very far away. For him, it was a big trip. He would travel there. He would meet with his publishers. He would provide material for his almanacs. He understood that the new technology, that the new industry needed constantly new material. And the publishers also saw Nostradamus a product because he became more famous. The name itself became famous. And then after he died, he dies in 1666, he could have vanished. Like many astrologers, many prophets of his era, he could have disappeared. And he endured, and one of the reasons is that all kinds of publishers saw the appeal of this name, saw the appeal of what eventually became a brand, and started publishing their own Nostradamus almanacs, whether he had written them or not. So you see forgeries, you see imitations, you see copies, all kinds of uses of what becomes Nostradamus.
And he endures. I mean, there are people across the globe panicking about December 21st, 2012. and a resurgence of Nostradamus, a new spate of TV specials and websites pointing to his quatrains and support of the Mayan myth. Now, what does this recurring popularity and defense of his prophecy say about us as a culture? What do you think?
That's a very good point. I mean, the question is, you know, why has Nostradamus endured for almost 500 years? And again and again, he comes back. So he never really vanishes. There are moments during crisis where he's more prevalent than others, and other moments where he's not as visible, but he's always there. And so now, again, he's coming back as he did after 9/11. I think there are two ways of looking at it, and one more pessimistic and one more optimistic. The more pessimistic would be that we're living in an era in which certain media have more and more influence, have more and more power, are sort of trying to reach broad audiences and are kind of catering to our lower passions and are trying to scare us, sensationalize us. And this goes back a long way. I mean, it goes back to the beginning of the press, but it really has intensified, perhaps, according to some, in modern times. So when you see, you know, shows on certain cable channels that will go unnamed, kind of playing on the darker, the most scary aspects of Nostradamus and turning him into this prophet of doom, as I put in my book subtitle, which he himself was not necessarily in his own era. I mean, that's one way to look at it, a more pessimistic take on our society, as if everything were filtered through a prism of fear.
Hmm.
I think another way to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
You, please. It's so fascinating. I want to hear more of you.
Another way to look at it, more optimistic, is that people are creative readers, that people are not, you know, manipulated by the media, and that people have gone again to these verses like the ones I read earlier and have used those in very creative ways to restore meaning to their lives when their sense of order, their sense of meaning, when their frameworks that they use are no longer operative, that people have used them to gain a sense of time, a sense of structure, to get a sense of being in the world, a sense perhaps also of ownership by decrypting the quatrains that we've seen again and again, that people have felt a sense of, it gives them a sense of confidence in themselves as well. So I think that, you know, the media part of it, the fear is there, but I don't think the fear is the entire story.
We're talking about the lasting appeal of Nostradamus, whose name is invoked every time there is a prediction of doom or often when we're facing disasters. Stéphane Garçon is with us. He's author of the book Nostradamus, How an Obscure Renaissance Astrologer Became the Modern Prophet of Doom. Well, I'm sure a lot of people, having studied them, you looked at evidence or claims of evidence for his predictions. What did you find?
Whether they came true or not?
Yes, whether they came true.
You know, it really is about the interpretation. When I began this book after 9/11, I was living in New York at the time, the moments of tremendous stress, as you can imagine, we're living in downtown New York, and I noticed that tremendous enthusiasm for Nostradamus online. More people searched for Nostradamus that year than searched for Osama bin Laden, which is hard to believe. Five of the top 20 books on Amazon that month were about Nostradamus. And so I got curious about that. I mean, why are people interested? What is it? How has this worked? And what does it say about us? I never really thought that. Necessarily he was right, but what's interesting to me is that people thought again and again that he was correct, or at least that he gave a way of either predicting the future or confirming things that had happened. So I was always more curious about the kind of cultural history of a phenomenon, of a device, of a mechanism that people found meaningful.
So do you think that, you know, assuming that we're all still here next week, these prophecies will again fade away and just come back when people need something to explain what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Mayan calendar will fade away. I think the Mayan calendar came and went, and I don't think people in the West will pay much attention to that. But Nostradamus, I would suspect, although I'm a historian, I'm more comfortable looking at the past and at the future, but I would suspect that Nostradamus will endure because we've seen this again and again, that he resurfaces, people get interested, they often attach him to other phenomena, such as we see now with the Mayan calendar, and then it doesn't happen in the way that was predicted. People come out and say, well, look, you know, he was wrong. It's over. Mm-hmm. And then he endures. We saw this in 1945 after the Second World War. There was a huge interest in Nostradamus, especially in the U.S. during the war, in newspapers, even the New York Times and all kinds of newspapers, in the media, in the movies. And then in 1945, when people said, well, look, he had predicted something for Hitler. It didn't come true. He is finished. And a few years later, the Cold War was back, and Nostradamus was back as well.
Well, do you know which quatrains in particular people who are supporting the Mayan calendar idea are pointing to as proof that this day is going to be a cataclysm? Did you look at those?
You know, I don't have the exact quatrain, but because different blogs and different TV shows are using different ones, but it's really easy to go into the prophecies and just pick whatever quatrain you think does the trick.
Stefan, I really want to thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
It's a really fascinating book and a great conversation. Stefan Grassan is Associate Professor of French Studies at New York University and author of Nostradamus, How an Obscure Renaissance Astrologer Became the Modern Prophet of Doom. There's more on Nostradamus and on Stefan's book on the Word of Mouth Facebook page. Tomorrow.